Welcome to Celebration Voices, where each week we bring personal stories of hope, discovery, and of course, celebration. We will explore how celebrating every day creates a ripple effect that touches friends, neighbors, and strangers. I'm your host, Michelle Schaaf. Let's create a ripple effect.
Hi, everybody. This is Michelle Schaaf. I'm here today with Robert Duran, the founder of National Retro Day on February 27th. And we're here to talk about everything retro. I am so excited to talk to you. Robert, how are you doing today?
I am amazing, excited to be here, Michelle. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You're so welcome. You know, National Retro Day was founded in 2018 by you. Tell us a little bit about what made you want to establish the day.
It was just an idea. It was an idea of. I'm surprised that there was no National Retro. There's National Kiss Your Boss Day, National Margarita Day, National everything. And it was just an idea. I was in my garage, and I was playing. It wasn't Super Mario. It was Nintendo, the first Mario. And yeah, it was that. And I was playing it in an old projector, a big projector, those ugly ones that nobody wants. And I had two tall boys. And yeah, two beers, the tall boys. And I'm there playing. It's pitch black dark. I have this big old school screen, the projector. I'm playing Mario. And I said, man, these were the days. I miss this. And then from there, I said, I wonder if there's a holiday for that. And then I just went online and I just started searching. Couldn't find one.
And now there is. Now there is one, thanks to you. And
it was, yes.
It's a day now that everybody can go digging into their closets to find the things that don't fit anymore. Like right now, you're channeling Karate Kid with a little bit of Cobra Kai going on here. You're all set for the 27th, definitely. Obviously, you're a collector and you look back to the day. What does retro, how do you define retro? Because I was looking things up again, refreshing my memory on what everybody's current beliefs of what retro means. What does it mean to you?
For me, it's definitely when growing up as a kid is definitely for me retro. So there's certain songs that bring me back to that time. Those times where, you know, you're a kid, you have almost zero to no worries. And so when I listen to a Led Zeppelin 80s song, it just takes me back. Or if I listen to in the 90s, I really enjoyed Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer for the guys.
Are they in the 90s? The 90s for the definition of it, retro. That's where retro is right now. Early 90s, 91, 92. We can go back a little bit further, but then people start saying, no, that's not as retro anymore. That's classic. But yeah, I was looking at, okay, would it surprise you that Boys in the Hood were really popular in the 90s, so they would be retro now?
Yeah, those were what, 30 years ago?
91, 92, yeah.
30 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we're pushing that. The movie My Cousin Vinny. Big hair. We're still in the big hair era. I'm sure big hair.
I just saw that probably about 6 months ago. Hilarious.
Did you?
With Joe Pesci.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Marissa Tomei.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a classic retro if you look at the cars, the language, all of that. I look at all of that when I think about it. So what do you do on National Retro Day?
On National Retro Day. So the reason, you know, when I really thought about why I missed those days, one of the main reasons, and the really big one, was there wasn't smartphones. There wasn't the internet yet. So we had to do a lot of things that obviously that didn't exist yet. So what do I like to do for Retro Day are things that don't evolve. The internet, the social media. So normally, for those of you that don't know, National Retro Day is actually, I put it on my birthday. So it's actually a birthday holiday, but it's also, you know, in celebration of retro. So we normally throw parties. We normally throw parties, family, friends, different themes, different times. We've done the 80s. We've done the 90s. We did a disco last year. Skates, disco, vinyl and stuff. We all dressed up. This year, we're going a little bit more low key. So we're just going to do a 2000s party at CC's Pizza. Pretty excited about that.
Is that in Austin?
They're originally from Texas. They did grow. So in the 2000s, they were like booming and then they started to slow down. You can eat pizza. Right now, I think it's like $7.99. Where in the 2000s, they were pushing $1.99 for kids, $2.99 for adults. All you can eat, everything. Actually, I think they have a promo. But CC's not paying me, guys, to say that. But they do have a promo going on.
So what's the theme this year for you?
Yeah, just 2000s.
Just 2000s, yeah.
I remember celebrating at a younger age. And in 2000, I was 16, around 16, 17. And for us, you know, we don't have a lot of money. So it's like, okay, where can we get the best bang for the buck to invite the family and it doesn't break the bank? So a lot of the birthday parties were at buffets. Golden Corral was another one. And then CC's Pizza. So this year, I'm turning 37, and we're going to have it at a CC's Pizza in Austin, Texas. We are going to dress up in the early 2000s, have some 2000 music, get the ugliest birthday cake that we could find, and some balloons, and that's it. Just have fun with it.
Are you going as anyone in particular?
No, not this one. Normally, I dress up in the era. So disco, I want to say I look like John Travolta. Others may disagree. But no, just something in the 2000s. So I'm gonna go online. I'm gonna see what ideas I could find, and I don't know. Maybe I might be a Backstreet Boy.
There you go. They're very retro right now. My stepdaughter, she talks about it.
Really? How old is your stepdaughter?
She's in her late 30s.
Okay. Oh yeah. So yeah. It was Team Backstreet Boys or Team NSYNC.
Yes.
It was too. Like. They had a few. The girls were always like, no, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC. And then 98 Degrees came out, and that just created a whole different thing. And I'm like, oh, man.
So you're going to play all 2000 music. Are you going to have any movies playing? Are you going to watch any movies?
We're not going to put any type of TV or anything like that. If anything, we might have an after party, which will probably end up going to the local pinballs. Which I love the pinballs here in Austin. There are three really good ones. And that might be the after party. Just go and...
That's retro. We're talking about arcades and pinball machines. Are there any places back where you live in the Austin area that really screams that retro feel to go out and explore and enjoy?
Absolutely. So one of the places that I've been going for a long time, they've even allowed us to host. Actually, we held our very first retro party there, which is Pinballs here in Austin. So they have three locations. I always go to the original one because that one just has more of that feel. It's kind of rugged, you know, and they sell food there. It's BYOB. And they got a wide variety of arcade games and an extensive collection of pinballs.
Is there one in particular you like to play?
Pinballs?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm really bad at pinballs. Really so bad. I see some guys, and I'm just like, man, how do you do that? I'll put in now, they're like $1, $2 to play. And I'm just like, I lose the balls like this. But in the arcade, if we talk about the arcade, like, you know, getting down, the game that I always play would be, let's see, I always play Tron because I'm really bad at Tron. It's like my arch nemesis. I'm serious. It's like, but there's this really cool I think it's House of Dead 2.
Okay.
And rather than use the gun, they use the keyboard. So this is the early 2000s. It's a Dreamcast game, Sega Dreamcast game, arcade. So instead of shooting, the monster's coming. You have to type it in really fast. That's probably one of my favorite. Yeah, it is. It is cool. It's Japanese version.
It's very old school.
It's definitely, I want to say that game came out between 2000 to, don't quote me on it, 2003, around that time.
That's interesting. Since, you know, when you think about when video games started coming out, we didn't have a mouse to control things. We had to use the arrow buttons on our keyboard most of the time to play games, or we had a joystick. That's what came with like Atari back in the 80s. And all you really were doing was bouncing a ball across the screen on many of those games.
I was going to say one of my earliest memories of the computer games, it was through a DOS. And I remember asking my aunt, I'm like, hey, you have a game called Psycho. I really want to play it. And she had to put in all these DOS commands. Asking her, hey, can you just get it going? And then I would play Psycho, old DOS computer.
My brothers and I, we would get the computer magazines, and my brothers would spend hours filling in the code just so that they could play a game. And that's probably more than retro, but that's what I remember about video games early on.
That was the only way.
Yeah.
I would get mine. Here in Texas, there's a grocery store called HEB. And HEB, right before we would pay, they had all the magazines. And that's where I would be like, oh, does it have the codes for the new Mortal Kombat game? And I would get it and I'd be like, hey, Mom, please. And that's how we would learn those magazines.
So I was looking back at the 90s again. We've got here for music, we're looking at Whitney Houston, Wilson Phillips, R.E.M., Nirvana. Some of these we still hear from time to time here now, but those are very retro. If you're looking for ideas for National Retro Day, there's some music to start with. Vanilla Ice, Gloria Estefan. President was George H.W. Bush at that time. Movies, I've got My Girl, The Rocketeer, Hook. Those were out and pretty popular too. Okay, did you know that the ThinkPad came out in 91 or 92, the first ThinkPad from IBM.
Did I know? No.
Yeah.
It was just,
I wonder if any of our listeners know either.
I mean, that's amazing, you know, the ThinkPad.
And then also in 92, the winning team for the World Series was the Toronto Blue Jays. It was the first non-US baseball team to win. So if you're a baseball fan, that's some retro facts for you. It was also played in Toronto, first World Series played outside the U.S. Do you remember how our computers used to dial up to connect to the internet? That's a term that we've lost.
We had dial up until probably 97.
I believe it.
Late bloomers with the AOL CDs, getting those free... 3 minutes, or I don't remember if it was it minutes?
I don't.
It was a time limit.
There was a time limit on some, and on others, if you paid more after a certain hour of the day, paid less. Say after 10 o'clock at night, you'd pay less. Kind of like the old long distance phone services.
Oh, man, we could go. That's a whole podcast right there. Sure.
What was your first cell phone like?
Oh, first cell phone. I had a hand-me-down that my father gave me, and it was the Nokia, the most popular one.
Was it a flip phone?
No, it wasn't the flip. It was, I can't remember, it was a 13 or a 15. It's one of the most popular ones, the indestructible,
okay.
The battery would never die one. And that was my very first cell phone. I had the company VoiceStream, which got bought out probably many, many times. And it was with the 3,000 anytime minutes.
Oh, 3,000.
Yeah, so that was the deal. It was either 300 anytime and nights and weekends, or 3,000 anytime minutes, and I could use it any time.
Wow. how far have we come now?
We are so spoiled. These kids are very spoiled. And I've had conversations with friends. I'm like, do you remember the free incoming calls on cell phones?
Yeah, vaguely.
It was free incoming. So if I had that and you called me, I'd be like, hey, give me a call right back. Mm. And then you would call me and we could be on the phone all day.
Right? Or you were giving them the bill.
Or giving them the bill. C-A-L-L-A-T-T.
Yeah. Yeah,
there were some crazy plans. And I remember text messages. They would give us probably about 100, 200. And then after that, it was 35 cents a text message on top of that. So if you were to send me a text message and I'm already maxed out, I could either ignore you or have that urge to be like, oh, what did she send me? You know, like what did she send? And then 35 cents.
Yeah. It is crazy today. I think all that money gets rolled into the actual phone now because they're so much more expensive than they were before, I think.
Oh.
When you think about the service combined. We also had to press three times to get to the letter C if you were sending a text, you know, before the QWERTY keyboard came along for the phone. We were stuck with that.
It was normal. Well, were you ever able to memorize, like, text without looking?
No, maybe I did. I don't remember. It's been so long for me, it seems like.
I remember that. I remember being able to just, you know, do my thing and still text without looking at it because I already knew where the numbers were or the letters. And I would just space it. And I mean, I was pretty accurate.
And, you know, too, on a retro topic of texting, all these short codes, BRB and LOL and all of that, has a lot of basis right there because it took so long for you to type out a text. You had to use the short version of a word or a phrase.
Right. It's too funny.
So do you talk about these kind of things at your retro party? Do you look back and think about the things that you don't use today?
Not necessarily in the parties. The party's more celebrating, usually through music. You know, that's usually where the music comes. Everyone just having fun. They're off the internet, you know. If anything, they are taking lots of pictures, which is fine. I don't mind you taking pictures and uploading them, but I've been to parties where everyone's sitting down on their phone.
Oh yeah.
Completely different. Right? So it's everyone just has fun. The music is good. We provide food, people dressing up, which is even better.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the experience.
So you came to us for National Retro Day. You came to National Day Calendar to help you launch National Retro Day. Mm-hmm. And one of our missions is to celebrate every day. And adding Retro Day to the calendar allowed us to keep celebrating every day in various different ways. What does celebrate every day mean to you?
I was looking at a picture recently of my mother. And I was looking at her older pictures. I mean, you're talking about, she had some from the early 2000s and some from the 90s. And I said, wow, you know, how time evolves. We're aging. We're getting older. So celebrating every day, and I know we should get to our destination in life. Well, we should really accomplish what we're here for. And there's a purpose for each and every one of us. Celebrating every day would be enjoy now, because you only get this moment once. So celebrate it. You're going to get to your destination.
Enjoy it along the way.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. It might be the last bye to someone because life happens. You're getting older. Your health can depreciate. Something can happen. The world is evolving. So celebrating every day is enjoying now. And then guess what? 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, you can land on National Retro Day and say, man, that was awesome.
Yes.
I lived and I celebrated and I enjoyed.
You could celebrate the living of that era and that time in your life. I think that's a wonderful way to express that. Is there anything else you'd like to share with me about Retro Day or about something else that has to do with celebrating or in your area festivals that you like to go to?
Yeah. So, you know, I tried looking for some festivals. I haven't found anything, but what I can say is on National Retro Day, look for something that doesn't evolve around cell phones and the internet. Go support your, here in Austin, there's a antique mall. So mm-hmm. you go in, there's a whole bunch of vendors there, and they got stuff from, man, from old. They got vinyls that you drop and they will break,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is actually pretty cool if you look up the history on how we evolved from that to the more flimsy ones. Are you familiar why we...
I'm not. Why don't you tell me about that?
Yeah. So don't quote me again. I heard it a while back, but it was World War II. World War II, where a shortage on certain material. And we had to create a synthetic. And with the synthetic, that evolved to the vinyls.
They were more durable.
Yeah. I go online and I see a lot of people, not just here in the United States, but worldwide celebrating this. And they're business owners. So, I mean, help them out. They have a passion too. So that's what I could tell people. Go support local. Go do stuff that can help the community, right? But also keep it retro.
I like the idea of shopping local for some of your retro. It could be vinyl albums at an antique store or even a retro record store. It could be a costume shop that has secondhand clothes that are perfect for your era. I agree that we're all about shopping local and shopping small business.
Yeah, I mean it's a passion. They're mm-hmm. not making lots of money. It's literally a passion.
I agree.
And they could normally tell you a story about the product or the, you know, whatever you're purchasing. If you don't have anything like that, fine. Just go to the park, have a picnic, mm-hmm. right? Hang out,
play some kickball.
Yeah, some kickball. We did kickball, I think it was 2 years ago. We had an outdoor party with a piñata, and we had a kickball. Now, here's the story on that is there were some kids there. They were teenagers, and we asked them, hey, do you want to join us? And they said, yeah. So it really said, man, you know, doing stuff like this, it unites people.
Mm-hmm.
We just created a memory. We had a blast. Two people fell. One twisted the ankle. It was amazing. It was fun. It was fun. But right now, most people don't like to talk to others. They're kind of isolated. And and National Retro Days is the perfect way just to talk to strangers, have a conversation, and see where it goes. Because that's exactly what we did before. We didn't text.
I like that idea of connecting with others through the past or, you know, bringing a little bit of history to somebody who's younger. It all comes together as a way to tell a story, to make a connection, and to celebrate. National Retro Day is for anybody. It's not just for somebody who's looking 20 years back. It might be for the 3-year-old who likes some good rock and roll. It could be anything like that. Every age would fit this day.
You know, there was a gentleman, a veteran, and he was telling us his war stories. So that's another thing that I could see me doing and others is just talking to veterans because they've seen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them just need to talk to someone. And just hearing a story from those days, you know, when they were at their prime.
Yes.
Right? Because most of them got drafted. And you know, I mean, how would that help them? What would you learn? How would you appreciate life, appreciate it different? You would say, wow, okay. These are just things that we can do.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking with anyone that's been in the military, they have stories to tell. And the military has changed since its inception. So they can look back at, you know, how the uniforms have changed or how the protocols have changed and who was in their unit at that time and look back and reminisce. It's a great day for doing that.
Yeah, well, we see a lot of stuff on Facebook. A lot of people posting pictures of their companies, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. News anchors showing videos of them 20 years ago. 30 years ago, and the, like you said, the hair and the shoulder pads. Speaking of shoulder pads, my mother called me, who's also the creator of National Retro Day. And she's like, mijo, which is son. She says, I learned how to sew the shoulder pads. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, well, I've always liked shoulder pads. But now it's harder because not a lot of clothes come with shoulder pads. And this lady showed me how to sew the shoulder pads on there. So she's like, I wore it and I felt fabulous, and I got so many compliments. And I'm just like, that is awesome. So my mother has broad shoulders again. But she looks awesome. So that was just last week. She texted me, or actually she called me, and she told me that, like, out of the blue. And I'm like, that's awesome.
You know. I already love your mom. Don't tell your mom that I had spent probably a decade cutting the shoulder pads out of my shirts and jackets.
Oh, no.
So don't tell her.
I'm not going to tell her. Or she might be like, oh, well, let me teach you how to sew them back on.
She probably would. She probably would.
So, yeah, that's my mother. And then I also want to give a shout out to Tina, my wife. She's always dressing up. She goes all out when it comes to dressing up for Retro Day. Like, she takes it to the max. She is feeling under the weather today. So if not, yeah, she would have been right here.
Right. Shout out to Tina. Definitely. I hope she gets to feeling better right away. We don't want her to miss Retro Day this year. I want to thank you so much for joining me today and telling us about Retro Day and helping us celebrate it. I'm looking forward to it. It's always fun to just look back and reminisce and see how much things have changed. That's probably one of the biggest things that I notice when I celebrate it.
How have you celebrated?
We've dressed up a little bit. When I go home, I tend to watch old movies. And my husband is retro on his own. So I live retro when I come home. In this building, we also run a computer repair shop. So we see a lot of retro computers that come in here and retro parts and things like that. There's all sorts of retro devices in this building.
Love it.
You have any last words for me?
Just keep retroing. Celebrate it, guys. But other than that, yeah, I mean, I have nothing else to say. Check out the Facebook page, National Retro Day, and just put # National Retro Day. And you're going to see all these posts from people from all over the world celebrating differently based on when they were born, their culture.
I agree. It's a fun day to celebrate. It's one of the more flexible days where people can interpret exactly what is retro to them. I think. And that's what's really nice about it. You can be looking at the 80s and the big hair bands, or you can be looking more recent, like at the 2000s and, you know, the music, the movies and the clothes that were happening during that decade.
We're going to start to hear the younger generation talking about 2005, 2010, and they could start telling us, and you're like,
and find out what they don't do anymore that they did when they were that age. That's the other thing that I see, that the transition and the change. Well, thanks again, Robert. It's been a great discussion, and we'll get this out there and celebrate National Retro Day on February 27th. I'm so glad you joined us, and have a happy birthday that day too, okay?
Oh, thank you. Yes, 37-year-old at a CC's Pizza. That's how you do it.
You're going to have fun. Eat a slice for me, okay?
I will eat two for you.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. Sounds like you'll have a lot of fun. Will you tell Tina I said to get better, okay?
I will.
All right. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you, Michelle.
Hi, you're joining Celebration Voices. And today I have with us Sharon Hapton with the Soup Sisters. And back a few years ago, they founded National Soup It Forward Day. Hi, Sharon. How are you?
I'm great, Michelle. Thank you.
Good. I'm so glad you joined me today. I want to talk about how you and your organization came about.
Well, it's kind of a nice little story. It all started back in 2009 on March 3rd, which is no mistake that March 3rd is Soup It Forward Day. Mm-hmm. I was that day celebrating a milestone birthday that I always would tell people ended in a zero and kind of leave it there. But, you know, I'm better now. I was celebrating my 50th, and I invited 30 girlfriends to a soup making birthday party at a cooking school here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, where I am from. And we made soup together that night. We made about 200 liters of soup. And it was donated fresh the very next day to the Calgary Women's Emergency Shelter in support of women and children fleeing family violence and domestic abuse. And it started that day, March 3rd, 2009. Yeah.
That's fantastic. And it's grown since then too, hasn't it?
It has. It, you know, since that time in 2009, it grew to operating in 27 cities across the country, primarily in Canada and to the U.S. as well. And we became very well known for our hands-on soup making events that provided what we call hugs in a bowl to so many women, children, and youth in crisis who would never have maybe otherwise had that same kind of messaging from community people that we cared and that they mattered. It was a very simple and meaningful way to let people know that we were thinking about them.
And then you decided to create a national day. How did that idea come about? How did it just develop?
Well, you know, I feel like over the years, the organization has, you know, involved so many people in this meaningful process. It made sense to create a national day where people could sort of relate to the idea of giving so simply and so tangibly. And, you know, Soup Sisters has three really amazing cookbooks, and we have so many chefs, like world-renowned chefs that have contributed to our cookbooks. So, you know, it also made sense to involve them in the process. They all have, you know, big followings and lots of people who really revere them on so many levels. So, you know, on March 3rd, many of them participate as well. They'll make soup and they'll soup it forward. And I don't know, it's really growing since we established that national day in 2018.
And you also have what is called a virtual soup pot. What is that?
So the virtual soup pot really came about because of COVID. So what happened in March of 2020, the world changed, as you know, and we were holding, you know, cross-country hands-on soup making events, and those just stopped, you know, cold stop on people getting together in the kitchen to do this. So the virtual soup pot became our way of continuing to bring people together virtually to make soup. And we asked them to make soup at home with a chef that would lead the event and to soup it forward to neighbors and friends. And we would continue to take care of souping it forward to all of the agencies we support across the country. And we've been doing that since 2020 through now. What we've become is really a soup bank. And each month, we're still delivering 5,000 pounds of soup right across the country to agencies in need.
And you're located in, are you located in Edmonton?
Calgary.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're located in Calgary, but this has spread all across North America a little bit, hasn't it?
It has. It really has. I think it's just a simple concept that was very formulaic, and it resonated with a lot of people. So, you know, pre-COVID, we had lots and lots of volunteers in cities, you know, in Los Angeles and New Jersey, all over Canada, who wanted to be part of this and who brought their communities together to support shelters in their own community. So, yeah, it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's become a little bit difficult at this point in COVID. It's been 2 years since we haven't been able to hold those wonderful events. But as I say, we're still getting the soup out there, just a different way.
You managed. You figured out a way to keep it going without stopping.
We did.
So March 3rd, yeah. National Soup It Forward Day.
Yeah.
What do you recommend people around the country, both countries, to do for the day?
Well, we recommend that you get a big pot of soup on the stove and you think about family and friends in need. And these days, that's not hard to find those people that you love that need that little extra bit of comfort. And You know, I delivered soup to family and friends most of my adult life. And that's what gave me the idea to start Soup Sisters, because I understood in that moment how meaningful the exchange was. And I would show up to people's homes with, you know, soup. And they were like, how did you know? I mean, we didn't even talk that there was something wrong. And I would just show up. And it's about that. It's about showing up. It's about simple kindness. And, you know, listen, you can deliver it upstairs to your kid in their bedroom. There's no parameters as to where you can deliver it. I deliver every day to a stranger who is a homeless man across the street, that sits on a bench every day and, you know, outside my window. And, I have a really beautiful exchange with him daily. And that's sort of outside of all of the, you know, kind of hundreds of thousands of pounds of soup that the organization delivers. So I find it's as good for me as it is for them, without a doubt.
Beyond doing the cooking in their home, is there a way that they can contribute to the Soup Sisters?
They can. I mean, we are a charitable organization. So you could go to our website, soupsisters.org, and we have a page there called MISO. And what that stands for is Money in Soup Out. And those donations go directly to supporting agencies all over the country.
That's fantastic. I love your website. You even have recipes. Of course, you have cookbooks, but you also have recipes out there.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
You know, I always get asked that question, and I like to tell the story of the mushroom, bean, and barley soup that I delivered for so many years to family and friends. And it was a recipe of a very well Canadian known chef from Toronto. Her name is Bonnie Stern. And it was from one of her really early cookbooks. And it's the one that I just delivered for years. And when it came to our very first cookbook, I asked her permission to publish it under as my recipe, you know, of course, giving her credit for it. And she very kindly, of course, agreed. And she's done virtual soup pot events for us. She's in all three cookbooks. But that's a hearty, delicious recipe, mushroom, bean, and barley soup. It was always, you know, some people say, you know, they don't want meat. They do want meat. They want vegetarian. So it was just always a good one to package up and deliver.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If an organization wants to have your soup delivered, do they just go to the website and submit an application, or how does that work?
You know what? We don't do the application process. Honestly, if they were to email info@soupsisters.org, I would see it and I'm on it. You know, we don't have like any kind of a process where you have to really convince us or fill anything out. If you're asking for soup, I'll get it to you. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that's amazing. So we have tons of followers who are extremely generous and like to volunteer and get out. Would you know, getting out to a local food location, shelter, volunteering there, is that something that this day would also promote?
With a little more difficulty because of COVID, and depending where you are, you know, whether you're in Canada or US, and it seems like all the rules, you know, are changing from in Canada from province to province. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we do have people all over the country who are delivering for us, which is amazing. So, you know, they pick it up at a depot in a city near them, at a VersaCold depot. VersaCold is a huge national refrigerated trucking company, and they are right now delivering our soup for us for free, which is unbelievable.
Oh, amazing.
For the last 2 years. So we do have volunteers who go to the VersaCold depot, pick up that delicious soup, it's flash frozen, and they bring it to the agencies. We're just getting started on bringing back events, the hands-on events. Anybody in New Jersey could certainly Google Soup Sisters New Jersey on Facebook. And those events are happening every month right now live. And so they're great. They're so much fun to make soup with your friends and know that you're really literally changing someone's day just with the gesture alone.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. What am I missing? What stories am I not asking you about that you want to get out there?
You know, we've been operating for 13 years and, you know, we've done so many wonderful, meaningful things. I'll just tell you what Soup Sisters is doing next week on March 3rd.
Okay.
And I love this idea. And again, it's got a little bit to do with some of the parameters of COVID, but we are partnering with food trucks. And we're going to a junior high school. It's a low income school, 750 kids, and we're bringing them soup. And they're going to, all of them plus their teachers, come out to the soup truck to get a hot lunch. And that's something we're doing on next Thursday, on March 3rd. So we're souping it forward in a really huge way, and we're ensuring that all of their teachers, who are, like, you know, some of the most important frontline people that we all know, care and love about, they're also getting, each of them, a 4-pound bag of soup to take home to their families to show.
Oh, that is such a wonderful event. It just bringing the school together and all those students getting a nice hot lunch, homemade soup, and
hot lunch of homemade
what a
soup.
Way to celebrate.
Yeah.
I love it. I can see all the kiddos' faces, and it just warms my heart. Just
they're
thinking
very
about it.
Excited.
Oh yes,
they know Soup Sisters, and we've done events inside the school with them before. So this is like the newer model. This is the update to, you know, how do you make it work with the times? Well, the soup truck idea came, and I think it's really going to work. You know,
yeah, the mobile Soup Sisters.
Yeah.
So. Thank you so much again, Sharon, for joining me today. This has been a wonderful conversation. There are so many places across the country where soup is a basic part of their organization. So I imagine that there are plenty of places that can incorporate the same idea all across the country.
Yes, and with a simple idea. It's so doable. It's such a beautiful way to give too, Michelle. I think that very few people in need receive it in such an all-encompassing way, like called heat and serve. That's an important part of this. You know, we're not giving pieces of things to people who are, you know, stressed out, maybe even, you know. It's just made easy. It's made easy and nutritious and delicious and all of that.
All you have to do is heat it up.
Yep.
Well, thank you again for joining me today, Sharon. Sharon with Soup Sisters. We're going to be celebrating on March 3rd. We're going to celebrate National Soup It Forward Day. I hope everybody who's listening will join us and share the love and a hug and a bowl.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Thank you. You've been listening to Celebration Voices. Share your Celebrate Everyday stories with Celebration Voices by contacting us by email at Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-E, at nationaldaycalendar.com. We'd love to hear how celebrating every day has changed your life, inspired you, or given you hope. Celebration Voices is a production of National Day Calendar. Share your Celebrate Everyday stories with Celebration Voices by contacting us by email at Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-E, at nationaldaycalendar.com. We'd love to hear how celebrating every day has changed your life, inspired you, or given you hope. Celebration Voices is a production of National Day Calendar.